You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, our guest shares presidential leadership advice in a time of massive global change and lays out four possible roads ahead for the Trump administration.
First, the Wells Fargo scandal keeps spreading after employees created millions of fraudulent bank accounts for customers, and allegations out this week say employees also created fraudulent third-party insurance accounts.
But customers affected by the fraud at Wells Fargo may not be able to take the company to court because of mandatory arbitration clauses in their contracts with the bank.
Our next guest says mandatory arbitration clauses are a big story affecting not just consumers, but employees at a growing number of companies. Bill Leaders joins us now. He's associate editor at The Progressive. His piece on mandatory arbitration is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Start off with the basics. It sounds like an obscure phrase. What is mandatory arbitration?
Mandatory arbitration is a clause that gets put into agreements. Maybe it's the agreement you sign when you go to Amazon or go to Travelocity. Some employees are also subject to these agreements. Maybe it's the job offer letter they get, or it's in the employee handbook, or they have to sign a form which requires that if there's a dispute that they have with the company, they have to take it to arbitration. They don't have the ability to engage in court action, especially collective court action, like a class action lawsuit. And so that's how it came into play in the Wells Fargo thing, is there were individual customers who looked at their bills and realized that they were being ripped off. They were being signed up for services that they didn't want and never asked for and were being charged for. And when they went to complain to bring some sort of action against the company, the bank, for doing this, they were told, hey, there's right in the contract, you can't do that. You can go to arbitration, but you can't bring a class action lawsuit against us. And because they were unable to do that in a public forum, the company was able to continue ripping off people for years. It never came to light what was happening.
So we would have heard this Wells Fargo story, you're saying, a lot earlier if people had been able to publicly go to court.
Yeah, that's one of the theories. Elizabeth Warren made that point when the Wells Fargo executive testified before Congress, and others have made the point that if it were not for this prohibition against collective action, this practice would have come to public knowledge much sooner.
So probably a lot of people, customers of banks and other institutions, have signed on to this mandatory arbitration agreement and probably don't have any idea that they've
absolutely
done this.
You've signed them, I've signed them. That's part of the fine print that is included in those little disclaimers that you say, you know, I agree to this, I've read this and understand it, even though you haven't read it and don't understand it.
And is there, if I want to buy something, if I want to open a bank account, can I opt out if I actually take the time to read that? Can I say, hey, bank, I'd love to do business with you. Let's cross off this line.
I don't think so. I don't think you can cross it off. I mean, you can challenge legally their ability to impose these agreements. And ultimately, there may be some challenges that come either from the government or from the courts. But, you know, it's part of the way they do business. And they do it very deliberately because it's much more likely that they will win a dispute in arbitration than it is in the courts, particularly if there's a class action case. You know, they may end up paying millions of dollars to because of a practice they engaged in. If it's individuals going for arbitration, first of all, it's not going to happen in most cases. You're not going to get 13 million people to sue for being ripped off of $30. The practical effect of these agreements is that nobody sues at all, and the company gets away with whatever it's doing.
Right. This idea is that arbitration, as compared to courts, is definitely to the benefit of the business.
Right. And the arbitration is done as a private proceeding. The arbitrator is generally hired by the company. They work with people who, you know, they're comfortable working with. The arbitrators know who is buttering their bread. And the successful outcomes for the litigant are much less frequent in arbitration than they are in court actions.
And for consumers, if they've signed on to this mandatory arbitration and try to sue in a court, courts do respect these mandatory arbitration clauses. They won't say, no, that's rubbish, you can go to court.
No, they do insist on. There's just one with our Airbnb, room rental service, where the someone tried to bring class action lawsuit, and just on November 1st of this year, it got thrown out by a judge who said, hey, there's binding language about mandatory arbitration. These people can't even bring this case against them.
Talking to Bill Leaders from The Progressive about mandatory arbitration clauses that hit consumers and employees. And let's turn to the employee side. That's a lot of what you've written about. Start with a story. You start in the piece of the story of someone her company, she'd worked there for a while, came to her and said, hey, sign this mandatory arbitration clause in the next half hour.
Yeah, Jennifer Fools of Rockford, Illinois, worked for a company as one of these customer care companies where they answer the phones for, in her case, it was J.P. Morgan Chase. She was one of the people that would talk to customers about their banking accounts and checking accounts and bank loans and things like that. She came in, the company was acquired by another bigger company, Alorica. She came in one day and was told, you need to sign this form. And the form was an agreement that she would solve any disputes through arbitration and not through any sort of collective action. And she said, well, can I have a lawyer look at it? And they said, no, you have 30 minutes to sign it or you're fired. And she was fired. And she was escorted from the premises by police, Rockford police. I even listened to the 911 call of the company calling into the cops because this employee needed to be removed from the premises. She filed an action against the company with the NLRB. There has been a preliminary finding in her favor. The NLRB has consistently held, the National Labor Relations Board, has consistently held that these agreements are not legal, that you can't force employees to give up a fundamental right as a condition of employment. That's likened to these yellow dog contracts, they're called, which they used to make employees sign an agreement that they would not join a union. If you didn't sign that agreement, you couldn't have the job. Those have been illegal since the 1930s. This is a similar prohibition on collective action. And the NLRB has consistently said, nope, you can't do it. Some of the federal courts, though, have said, yes, you can. And then there's another federal court in a case involving Wisconsin. Epic Systems last May was told that, no, they cannot make employees sign these binding arbitration agreements in a case that involved overtime pay. And so the courts are divided now. Some of the federal courts have said companies can't do this. Some of them said, yes, they can. It will be coming to the U.S. Supreme Court.
What kind of collective cases might come up in a company like this? What kind of workplace discrimination? What other sorts of things would be affected by this?
Yeah, workplace discrimination, sexual harassment. When Gretchen Carlson of Fox News was fired from her job and she alleged sexual harassment as the reason for it, she discovered that her contract with Fox prohibited her from bringing a lawsuit against the company. She'd have to go to arbitration. So what she did is she sued Roger Ailes personally, and they even invoked that there. They said, well, you can't do that either. But in her case, they settled it, and she got $18 million to settle the case, but she ran up against that prohibition. And when there's a big article in Time magazine about how Gretchen Carlson is going to testify before Congress in favor of bills that would prevent companies from imposing this requirement.
So there are bills before Congress. What kind of pushback are we seeing at the political level against mandatory arbitration?
Well, the bills are brought by Democrats. Senator Frank and Senator Leahy are the primary sponsors. And this is not exactly a golden time for Democratic lawmakers to be pushing legislation, but they will try to gain some ground in legislation, and then it's always possible that the courts, even with an appointee from Donald Trump to the Supreme Court, might rule that these are improper constraints on employees' rights.
Have companies publicly defended this, saying, I guess this protects us and our stockholders from maybe frivolous lawsuits? This could cost us a lot of money?
That's not the line that they use. They say that this streamlines the process. It's much easier. It's much easier to access arbitration than it is to go to the court. It's cheaper and easier and simpler for everyone. Of course, some lawyers that represent consumers and lawyers that represent employees say that's bonkers, that, you know, this is strictly about maximizing their advantage in these dispute situations.
So having done this story, when you go to the bank, do you look at your account? Do you see if you're subject to mandatory arbitration?
I have done that, and I know that I have signed these agreements. And if you go to Amazon, you do. If you buy a airplane ticket through Travelocity, you've agreed to this. If you use Google, you've agreed to it. Now, I don't have any particular desire to sue Google for ripping me off. I don't even know how they would do that. But, you know, if I wanted to, I would be constrained by virtue of these agreements.
We'll leave it there, Bill. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Bill Leaders, associate editor of The Progressive. His piece on mandatory arbitration is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we'll get advice for a new president in a time of big change and look at four possible roads ahead for the Trump administration. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.